Some people just don't fit in. They don't want to. They don't want to own property or get a job with a big company. Sometimes they'd rather stick to the same life their ancestors have lived for centuries, such as nomads, herding livestock in search of sweet grass in the mountains of Anatolia. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, a tour guide from Turkey explains how some of her family has lived off the land in goat hair tents as far back as anyone can remember. But recently, her father's branch of the family tree opted out in favor of a modern lifestyle. We'll hear how nomadic traditions fit or don't fit into modern Turkey, coming up in a bit on today's Travel with Rick Steves. We'll also find out what so-called primitive societies have taught scientist Christopher Wills about the forces of natural selection, and how societal differences that keep us apart aren't always even skin deep. Let's start with a different angle on our common humanity, with one of America's leading Christian voices, the Reverend Jim Wallace. He's sometimes controversial with his evangelical base because he preaches about the need for social justice and the equal dignity of all people. Right out of college, Jim founded a community and a magazine both called Sojourners, and he joins us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us what his travels to war zones and poor communities have taught him and his family about our place in the world. Jim Wallace, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Rick.
Sojourners, that's your magazine, that's your organization. Now, this is a travel show, and yeah. Sojourners is traveling, right?
People on a journey. It's a metaphor for the church, a pilgrim people, people of God, people who don't know national boundaries, people who are in but not of the world.
I think travel is a beautiful thing when it comes to combating ethnocentricity, and I think ethnocentricity is kind of a dangerous notion these days. How does travel combat ethnocentricity in your faith?
Well, I think sometimes we are told that we are better than, different than other people, and somehow they are a threat to us because they're different than we are, with different values. They care about different things. And that just isn't true. I've traveled all over the world, and I find that what makes us human is much more powerful than what makes us different. When you meet parents who have the same hopes for their children in refugee camps, and their mothers are making you warm tortillas and coffee every morning, you're playing with the kids, you know. You have a different view of that village than when it's talked about on the evening news as a target for U.S. military strikes.
Okay, but you're a Christian leader and respected all over the place as a great Christian thinker. You've been on President Obama's spiritual advisory group. I had an experience in eastern Turkey once, and it made me feel really good. I was dancing in somebody's home, and the man here was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. He took me over to the wall, and he said, "This is where I hang my Quran. It's the most holy place in my house, the mm-hmm. Quran bag." Mm-hmm. And in my Quran bag, I also have a copy of the Bible and the Torah, because we Muslims, Jews, and Christians are all, quote, people of the book, children mm-hmm. of the same God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that unchristian to accept that from your theological point of view?
No, and you find Muslims around the world who hate the kind of violence being carried out by a very fundamentalist sect of their own faith. And the way you're often taught here that Muslims are all somehow part of this Islamic terrorist movement is just not true. And you meet people who have a very different feeling, and they don't even hate you. I have a friend who went to Iraq just before the war to tell the people of Iraq that we don't hate them. On their way home, their car went off the road. It had an accident, a serious accident. And a bunch of folks came out, you know, native Iraqi people, and took them to the hospital. Now, they're about to be bombed by the Americans. And yet these Iraqis took them to the hospital. And one of the young kids had a broken arm, and they had no money. And they took care of them, and they fixed his arm, and they said, "You know, you don't have any money, but we've taken a collection here among the nurses and doctors and staff, and we're only about $200 short. Do you think you could come up with that to pay for this medical care?" Now, these are people who are about to be bombed by and here are these American kids experiencing a hospitality and generosity. They didn't like Saddam Hussein either.
Right.
But I told the president, President Bush, I said, you know, I want to see Saddam Hussein removed too, but not by bombing the children of Baghdad. So I went to Baghdad, and I met the faith leaders there and the children, and this was not the answer. And so how do you solve problems in a different way, resolve conflicts, by knowing the people and relating to people that you're estranged from.
But we have to be able to put the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran in the same bag in order to do that, because nobody's going to go away.
There's a billion Muslims in the world.
Yeah, there's a billion Muslims, a billion Christians.
Let me tell you a quick story. You remember when there was a big controversy about the mosque in New York City, and then a pastor in Florida said he wanted to burn the Quran. Remember
right.
that, Terry
oh, yeah.
Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Every night I was on one of these cable stations saying, the media is doing a conflict narrative. There are other things going on. Finally, CNN told the story of the Heartsong Church in Memphis, Tennessee, who heard there was an Islamic cultural center coming to their neighborhood. So Steve Stone put a sign out, Heartsong Church welcomes Memphis Islamic Cultural Center. The Muslims were blown away. They said, we hope to be ignored, and you welcomed us. And they said, well, we try to love Jesus here. And so he says, love your neighbors, and we heard you're our new neighbors, so welcome to the neighborhood. Kids begin to play with kids. The pork barbecue began to include halal meat, chicken, and beef. And then they said, this 9/11, they said, we want to celebrate Ramadan, but our building isn't finished. Can we do it in the church? And they celebrated Ramadan. So then I called Steve, and he says, can I tell you about a conversation I had 3 days ago? I got a call from Pakistan, Kashmir, a room full of Muslim men. They said, is this Steve Stone, the pastor? Yes. We saw your segment on CNN, you and the imam. We were stunned, and we were silent for a long time. Then one of us said, I think God is speaking to us through this man. Another one said, how can we kill these people? Another one of us went out, and he found the little Christian church near us, and with his Muslim hands, he cleaned it inside and out to be a good neighbor. Now we're back together. It's 1:30 a.m. We're calling you to say that we don't hate you, pastor, and your congregation. We love you, and we're going to take care of that little church for the rest of our lives to try and be good neighbors, too, and do what you're trying to do in your country.
The Reverend Jim Wallace is our guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. He's the president and editor-in-chief of the Sojourners Organization based in Washington, D.C. Jim's joining us right now to outline how his travels have shaped his view of the world and refined his religious faith. His organization works with people from a variety of traditions on issues of social justice, peace, and environmental stewardship. When you think about the power of religion all over the world, it's mm-hmm. easy for people to think religion is a big part of the problem. And I think of the theocracy in Iran, for instance. Are there any other theocracies on this planet?
Not in that same way, but I remember when I was in the South African struggle for a long time with my good friend Desmond Tutu, the Dutch Reformed Church was virtually a combination of church and state with apartheid, a religious justification of apartheid. So religion has been used. I'm a Christian, but I want to be the first to say it has been used for terrible purposes, hierarchical, patriarchal, violent, destructive, but it's also been the catalyst and the energy and the motivator of all of the great movements for justice and peace. Where would we be without the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Desmond Tutu? It has been both a source of great pain, but also a source of great healing. And I think faith can bring people together, just like travel. You meet people who share the same faith as you, or they share another faith, but their faith leads them to the same kinds of convictions and commitments. And so I think religion, rather than being a divisive force, can be a catalytic force to bring us together to find solutions to our inevitable human conflicts. We're going to be in conflict. We're human beings. But when you meet people face-to-face, you get to know them and their kids. The other day, somebody said something about being a Muslim, and Jack, my 7-year-old, said, well, I have a friend who's a Muslim, and he's a great guy.
Jim Wallace, you are a liberal Christian. You could call it a progressive evangelical. Is that true?
See, I think...
I know you don't like labels, but I mean, there's this whole evangelical movement that is...
The Christian right.
The Christian right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're interested in the sanctity of life, and then other Christians are more interested in social and economic justice.
The sanctity of life includes being concerned about the 30,000 children who die every single day. I care. I care about a million abortions every year in America, too. I want to prevent and reduce the number of abortions. I want to support low-income women.
Right.
I want to prevent unwanted pregnancies.
Right.
But I also care about nuclear weapons aimed at millions of people and kids who are dying every day of totally preventable disease. You know, the scripture says, choose life.
But as a Christian leader, right. do you see any hope of getting the Christian right
oh,
to
yeah.
see it that way? Is there a movement that way? Because I heard that there was more empathy with these calls for economic justice lately among the Christian right.
There's a new generation coming up that doesn't believe that faith fits the political categories of left and right. When you try and squeeze religion into political categories, it gets misshapen.
Right.
So I don't want to be the Christian left as opposed to the Christian right. That would be just a mere reflection of them. A new generation wants to apply their faith and the gospel to all the issues of life. So poverty is on their agenda. Creation care, they would say. The environment is on their agenda.
Creation care is a politically acceptable term for environmentalism.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Stewardship.
Right.
Stewardship. Trafficking is a huge issue. You travel all over the world. Trafficking is a huge moral issue. There are more people, women and children now, in economic and sexual slavery around the world than there were when Wilberforce freed the slaves in Britain 200 years ago.
I get the sense that you work really hard, and I get the sense that part of the reason you work really hard is because you've been able to travel as much as you have.
Well, I want my children to understand the world as the world, not just as an American sort of sector of the rest of the world. My wife is British, so they have dual passports. They've been around the world, and they really do see the world differently than they would if they just only saw it from an American point of view. They see the world through the eyes of those who live in very different circumstances than they live in. And it's freeing, it's liberating, it's exciting, it's fun. I mean, I've had fun. I've danced with people all over the world and ate their food and at parties and celebrations, and it's just a lot more fun.
Jim Wallace is the founder and editor of Sojourners Magazine. You can learn more about his work at sojo.net, S-O-J-O.net. Jim Wallace, thanks so much for being here.
It's lots of fun to be here. Thank you.
Best wishes with your work and happy sojourning.
Thank you.
Next, we view the world through the evolutionary eyes of the Darwinian tourist for another angle on our place in the world. It's Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.